you're a better healer, coach, mentor, author if you are continuing to really go inward and look at yourself honestly and see what needs to be seen, right? It's very easy to kind of want to have power over people. And if you haven't worked on that part of you that might want that, it's easy to set yourself up, right, as someone's savior. And really, I believe that empowerment is about helping someone to use tools themselves, right? Like ultimately, they move on from you with what you've taught them.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by both books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, and the follow-up bestseller, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. Head over to Amazon.com, pick up both books. They are available in a trifecta of paperback, audio, and ebook. Cop all three of both and be on the lookout for another book from yours truly to help podcasters succeed. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of a wonderful site known as PodcastGuest.com, a wonderful site where folks aspiring to be guests on podcasts can have their own digital one sheet that everybody on the interwebs can see, so that way they can be possibly invited on shows. And if you're a host, you can have your podcast sent out to thousands of wonderful subscribers, and they get to reach out to you. And then if you're like this guy right here who had to sift through darn near 300 people, and it's like, oh man, it's going to be interesting. But we got one heck of a needle out of the haystack, because this needle right here is made out of diamonds, y'all. That's right, indeed. Diamonds, pearls, and heck, maybe even platinum indeed, because she is a wonderful mom as well as a wonderful wife, an energy worker, certified meditation teacher, and workshop leader. So let's give it up for the lovely and energetic Lisa Erickson. How you doing today, Lisa?
I am great. So happy to be here. Can I play that part for my kids and husband about being a wonderful wife and mother?
Oh, sure. Play as much as you want. Okay.
I'm sure some days they feel that way. I can't promise every day, but we do our best.
Hey, folks need reminders every now and then. And besides, it's better than the other option, folks. Like, hey, yeah, I got this true. Big coach bag I want to stick you in, buddy. I need you to introduce me everywhere I go. Like, hey, come on. I'm one guy here. I'm bigger than one suitcase.
I'll take your word for it. You have a big presence. That I can feel already. So,
I blame the chocolate for that one.
Me, it's caffeine, but yeah.
I knew I had a good feeling about you. Well, hey, the good news is, as good as introductions are, they're not allowed to be 5,000 years long, and they're probably only covered, I don't know, maybe 3 months. So my goodness, mind filling in any cavities I may have missed about you, Lisa?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm an energy worker, which for a lot of people may be sort of, what the heck is that? I help people work with their energy bodies on mental health issues, emotional issues, sometimes physical health issues. And I work a lot with women in particular, although I do work with both men and women, on abuse, healing from abuse, and how to restart your life after that, and a lot of other themes around that.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So what got you into energy work? Was you seeing fairies at the age of 13? You're like, yep, I'm going to put on my angel wings and join the party. These folks aren't ready for this type of woo-woo.
You know, it's interesting. I probably was and don't remember it. I think a lot of us, when we're young, do have experiences. We're much more fluid. We do have experiences with sort of what would be considered the unseen in various forms, but we then learn to block it out. And I definitely did. And I didn't come back to it until my 20s, when I was actually in a technology career in New York City, working long hours, very stressed out, and had some health issues. The doctor could not figure out what was going on and said, I think this is stress. This is 35 years ago, so that's still sort of unusual, that he would recommend a yoga or meditation class, which is what he did. And I found one, and it turned out it was what's called a chakra meditation class or an energy-based meditation class. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of meditation. And that did sort of all of a sudden open me up to this whole realm of things I'd been sensing that I didn't really realize. And I realized I was an empath and I was taking on a lot of energy from others. I stayed in my technology career for quite a while, for another decade, but I was starting to study and gradually migrate over to what I do now.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about today. Yes, indeed. So did your technology career take you to California?
No, I was still in New York at that point. My husband brought me to California. He's a California boy. We met on the East Coast. And then when we married, so this was really my mid-30s by then, we moved back to where he had been raised in Southern California, just south of Los Angeles.
Ah, there you go. Probably had a spiritual buffet once you got there.
It's definitely a spiritual scene out here. There is a yoga studio in every corner for sure. And there's, you know, really kind of every spiritual modality you could imagine, right? So in that sense, it's fun. It can also get a little bit shiesty, like people are sort of selling, everybody's selling, right? And so you kind of have to sort through what is real, what works for me, what's true, you know, what's really feels true.
Yeah, that's the sad part about it, because it's like, oh shoot, I can freaking monetize and turn this into a freaking business and not even be about it. Let me say love and light and I'll speak the language and make $1 million, maybe. Oh wait, inflation, California. I'll maybe make $10 million.
Yeah. No, you're so right. It really is all about motivation. And I think that's something I'm always trying to stay in alignment with, right? Like, why am I doing this? I'm trying to help people. Yes, I need to be paid. That's okay. But how do you do that in a way that has integrity where everybody's benefiting? I always offer sliding scale options. I always have a certain number of clients who are paying on a sliding scale basis. Personally, that's kind of how I do it. And everyone has to figure that out for themselves based on their own life circumstances. Every healer has to figure that out for themselves, how to balance that, right? Like monetizing and helping people.
Definitely can say that again, indeed. Heck, now think about it, this question popped in my head. So I guess with you having these wonderful spiritual gifts and helping out folks, like any advice for the aspiring spiritual entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think in my case, I actually also offer classes on like getting practitioners learning how that are building their business up, right? I think, you know, decide really, really focus in on what you're good at. You can't be everything to everybody. So really do your own work first is the most important thing, right? And once you're at that place where you really know, okay, I have something to offer, something to benefit people, which usually dovetails with your own journey, right? Then really focus in on that. That's what you offer. That's what you do well. How do I find those people? And let it grow organically. I know there's often sometimes the kind of field of dreams impulse, like, let me just quit my job and become a full-time spiritual mentor or coach. And if you have the means to do that, of course, do that. But I've also seen a lot of people get triggered into very difficult financial circumstances because that created so much stress. So it's okay to let things build gradually. And that is what I did. While I was in my technology career, I began to offer workshops. I began to blog online and start to develop what I was doing and start to develop an audience. And then it took a while. And then I did a self-published book. Then eventually I'm doing bigger workshops and I get a publishing firm who publishes my next book. And it kind of builds from that gradually and let it be an organic growth. That also helps keep you in alignment because you're less likely to just make decisions totally based on what's going to make the most money. You can take the time to really find a path that feels like it has integrity. It's benefiting people.
Sweet. That's right. Indeed. Benefiting people. You love to see it. You love to see it. Indeed. Because you're so right. Heck, even especially nowadays, the way the good old planet is and the way folks are, it's like, yeah, you gotta really work on yourself before you try to really work on other people. It's like, hey, you can't just drink a screwdriver and say, hey, I used a screwdriver, I am fixed. It's like, no, you have to actually do some actual work here.
That's right. And you really can't help other people unless you're working on yourself. I mean, it never really stops from my perspective. You're a better healer, coach, mentor, author if you are continuing to really go inward and look at yourself honestly and see what needs to be seen, right? It's very easy to kind of want to have power over people. And if you haven't worked on that part of you that might want that, it's easy to set yourself up, right, as someone's savior. And really, I believe that empowerment is about helping someone to use tools themselves, right? Like ultimately, they move on from you with what you've taught them. You're not trying to create a dependency. But it can be very alluring to create a dependency. So you really have to do that personal work yourself to not do that.
You can say that again, indeed. Like the classic person who's probably been there for a little bit at that place of employment and the managers are gone, and then they try to act like the manager. It's like, yes, I am manager on duty now. You must bow down to me now. I am manager.
I'm the expert. Yeah, I'm the expert now. Yeah.
That's right. Expert. I'm expert. Capital E, expert. I'm a whole vitamin. You must listen to my knowledge. It's a lot of knowledge. So much knowledge, your head will spin and explode at the same time.
Tell me stuff. I feel like you have experience being on the underneath that.
Not long enough, thank God. Yeah, being on the other side of that's fun. Oh, until you actually do it sometimes, depending on the good old job. But hey, it's all good. It's all good. So my goodness, so since you also coach people, I always like to ask coaches about their wonderful experiences that make them better. So has there been a wonderful client experience or a client that helped make you a better coach?
Great question. Wow. I feel like all of them do, right? You learn about the human experience. Each person really experiences it differently. I think because I work with a lot of individuals who've had trauma in their life, I've had clients who really helped me understand times when I thought I was being helpful and I was actually maybe pushing them too hard or judging them but didn't realize it. And what they really needed from me was just compassion and nurturing. You don't always have to fix it. Sometimes it's not about fixing it, even as a healer. It's just about listening and being that non-judgmental space. And it's okay to just be that, not feel like you have to jump in with the tool or the thing that's going to fix it. Because if you think your job is to fix it or fix everyone, then if someone's pace is a little slower, they're working through something, you can start feeling impatient with them and they will feel that. And that isn't helpful at all, right? So I think that's something I've had clients in my early days really help me to understand. And I'm really grateful for that. I think I've had a lot of clients with a lot of different backgrounds, diverse in every way. Sexual orientation, gender, race, class, economics, everything. And everyone really shows me how unique the human experience is and lets me kind of drop any judgment, right? Just meet everyone where they are at, listen to what they're saying. So I'm really grateful for that. I think that's what this job has really shown me is the incredible uniqueness of human experiences. And how to just be present with that.
That being present. That's right today. That's right today. It's like, all right, cool. We're about to fix them today. I got my Bob the Builder construction hat. That's right today. I got the kitchen sink. We're going to do everything and a kitchen sink. They're going to have 30 chakra wheels when we're done. And it's like, oh, they just need listening. Oh, okay. I'll put the kitchen sink back now. Darn. Let me stop.
Yep. Perfect. Exactly. You got it. Wow. You really have a gift. I love it. I love also witnessing people's gifts. So it's hard for me. You know, I'm listening to your rhetoric and I'm like, oh, yeah, such a gift. So I have to step out of that role and just be the guest.
Oh, don't worry. It can be a dance if you want. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. Switching positions. All the good stuff. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. Because, yeah, that's the good thing. Because at the end of the day, we're all human. And the thing is, it's like, hey, sometimes you got to be a regular
Hey, I mean, don't have to always be the metaphorical master or guru on top of the metaphorical mountain. Sometimes you just gotta listen to him. You don't have to give him everything. Don't have to give him everything at once. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, so when did you decide to join the business of immortality? Because you got a couple books out there, even were able to do the actually go both routes, one self-published as an indie author, and then, if I'm not mistaken, I have a publishing house pick you up, right?
Yeah, and I have two books out with a publishing house. Yes. Yes. So I started in the early days of sort of self-publishing and published a book that was specifically for women working with sexual trauma. It really was just created almost as a PDF and then loaded into Amazon in really early days. And it met an audience that I almost wasn't expecting. Really, it grew out of workshops. And I think that is the way that I write, meaning I'm more of a talker and maybe a teacher than a writer. And so often when I'm writing, I actually speak as if I'm speaking to an audience and transcribe it and then work on writing it. So for anyone out there who maybe feels that same way, that's a great process for working. So both of my first two books really came out of workshops that I was leading, where I then thought about how to transform those into books where people could benefit from that material if they were reading it, which meant in terms of guided meditations, I needed to figure out how to write that out in a script that would be helpful to people, in addition to describing how they would use it and when and how it would help them, and give examples from workshops I had led and clients I had worked with of stories and how people had transformed through the work. So that's really, my books really grew out of that and grew out of a desire to kind of expand who could benefit from this kind of work. And then they also became a way that people come to me for more work, right? It's sort of a brand development step. And I really loved it. I love writing. Now I think I like writing more than I originally did. I've gotten more comfortable with it. And I do a lot of just article and blog writing and things like that. It's sort of like the fear has come out of it as I've gotten more accustomed to it.
Me like indeed. Try and take because hey, I love the early version of Lisa that you mentioned earlier, who would basically take a workshop content and turn it into good old book content, because hey, that's probably an easy way to write, especially for those who are speakers and prefer to speak their content into existence and transcribe and have someone polish it up for them, because it makes life a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, that's a thing. And so many people really have so much material and they just don't realize it. And the idea of putting it into a book format becomes overwhelming. But if you just sort of speak on one topic after another and then get it transcribed, which there's all these transcription services now that do this very well. And of course, you can even just use Microsoft Word voice, right? But I had better luck with actual services. They do a better job in terms of getting it into a readable format. And then from there, a structure kind of emerges like, oh, this goes with there. And I'm going to move this over here. And these topics all go together. And then these chapters all go together. And the structure will become clear. So you don't have to have necessarily this, you know, big picture before you even start of how the whole book is laid out, which I think is sometimes where people get stuck. They feel like they should have that vision. And it's okay not to have it from the start and just talk on topics that you have to share about and let the structure emerge from that as you're reading what you've come up with.
Yes, right, Dave. It's like she's got this divine inner compass and she's been in the flow. It's like, yeah, I got this good old experience as a technology executive. And I was like, hey, let me jump into the alligator swamp and take over the world. But not yet. Let me build up my wonderful brick house so the big bad wolf doesn't blow it over and then jump ship. And then now I get to create all this magical content for folks to devour and be empowered by. And now she gets to be Wonder Woman level 2.
Yes, I feel like I'm heading into Wonder Woman level 3. I think that's a I don't know. I'm 56. I think like I'm heading into my wisdom years, right? I'm like, I'm hitting that third phase of life, hopefully, that I get a whole third phase of life, right? None of us really know. And it feels like a whole nother phase. So that's interesting to see too, and to feel into.
Heck yeah. And besides, the good news is you'll probably get a third wind anyway, because the thing is, a lot of folks are living a lot longer in spite of whatever negativity is out there, and folks are putting some younger folks to shame. We got folks in their 80s getting their college degrees, and some folks being fitness experts in their late 70s. It's like, oh yeah, they're kicking all sorts of butt indeed. That's right indeed. So hey, good times await. Good times await, because you're just getting started.
Yeah. And I think that's something, you know, I really learned through a lot of my energy studies as well, this whole idea of aging, reframing that yes, this phase of my life and anyone entering into this phase, this really is meant to be a culmination. And yes, our bodies are going to slow down and things are going to happen to our bodies, but on an energy level and a spiritual level, it actually is all uphill, right? Like you have more wisdom. You've let go of the things that don't matter. You know what matters to you. This is the way we want to age. And you can still be creative. You can still share. You can still connect. You can still love. And all of that, if anything, gets more powerful as you let go of some of the material concerns. So this is really meant to be the culmination of our life, not an ending, not everything shutting down.
Yeah, that's right indeed. If only we could tell the government to tell those companies to stop mailing those crappy junk mail pieces to people's homes when they get to a certain age. It's like, hey, you want to buy a tombstone? You want to buy a plot? Hey, AARP, buddy, come on. Come on. You know you see your citizen now. Come on. It's like, no, stop it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of mail. You're so right. That's so funny. Yeah. I was just thinking, we also have a Golden Bachelor right now. I haven't been watching that show, but you know, it's been like a huge hit. The Bachelor shows that the new Bachelor's in his 70s, and all the women are in their 60s and 70s. So, also showing that love can happen at any age, right?
Oh, heck yeah, indeed. Especially all the divorce rates too, or sadly, some partners leaving a little too soon. So yeah, definitely opportunities out there. Opportunities out there. Indeed. So my goodness, so what's your writing flow like these days, since you now tend to enjoy putting pen to paper metaphorically now more than just the whole transcription route?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I write on different short topics, sometimes for my blog and often for social media. Just Facebook and Instagram posts are, you know, writing, right? When you're trying to share what you have to offer. I write a lot of material also, of course, for my workshops and courses. And so really it'll be, I'm trying to find the nugget. What is the piece of information on a particular chakra or a particular aspect of personal growth or healing that strikes me today? What is inspiring me today? And just write on it, just communicate what I have to share, right? And I've learned not to get too worried about who is it for. Instead, just let it come out from the inside and just trust who it's for, right? You don't have to. If you're trying to engineer, like, are these people going to like that? Is this person going to like this? Is this person going to like that? And you're operating in kind of this people-pleasing mode, you lose your own flow. You lose your own voice. You can edit later, but in my first pass, it's just completely from the inside coming out. And then maybe I think about who am I trying to reach and edit it from that perspective. So really, I do a lot of writing on chakras and personal growth, trauma healing. Life phases, aging even, like we were just talking about, and the state of the world, because I think it's hard right now with everything going on in the world not to get overwhelmed with a sense of negativity or fear. A lot of people are suffering from anxiety, from depression. It's difficult to hear the news. And so giving people tools to process that. I also have 3 teenagers, so I'm very concerned about growing studies on teen mental health and how many are experiencing anxiety and depression as they are coming into their adult years, and thinking of ways to write to that group as well.
That's right. Keeping them away from the vaping and the weed, especially. That's
right. Yeah.
Yep. The brain ain't ready for that yet, and the stuff they got out there is lethal.
Yeah.
Indeed. Highly concentrated. It's like weed on weed.
Yeah.
Extra high. Definitely extra high. Indeed. So are you still doing your martial arts training these days?
I don't anymore. My knees cannot take it. So so I do more yoga now and walking and gym and things like that. But I learned a lot from studying Shotokan karate for many years. And I learned a lot about my energy body because I really learned how to claim space, how to center in my personal power, which is linked to the navel chakra, by the way. And all of that was really important for me, especially as a woman, to not be afraid to really claim space and be strong in my body. I think younger women now today are more naturally comfortable, a lot more are involved in athletics from a young age and things like that. I had not been. So when I got involved with Shotokan karate in my 20s, that was an important part of my own growth and taught me a lot and opened me up to parts of myself that I hadn't experienced before. And that is a lot what energy work and chakra work is that's what each of the chakras represents in a way, is these different aspects of yourself, different energies that flow through all of us, and how can you learn to connect with them and what you need.
Yeah, indeed. That's right, indeed. So heard that right, folks. She's in her Steven Seagal phase, metaphorically. She doesn't have the huge belly, but she can still break your neck in three places. So watch out. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It'll be throat chakra no more. Let me stop.
Only if you really come at me, but most of you are safe. Yeah.
There you go. That's right, indeed. Don't worry, you're safe for now. That's right. For now, it's right indeed. It may not be the throat, it may be three of them in the middle. It's right indeed. All the wheels, indeed. I'm just messing with you, but my goodness. So, any other books coming out in the near future since you got a few out?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually would love to write another one on menopause. So no, I don't have one planned right at the moment. But that is a workshop that has been growing in popularity. And really, men have menopause too. I don't know if you've had any guests speak
What?
about that. Yeah, well, in terms of having hormonal changes that are tied to kind of your mid-40s to 50s, there are hormonal changes and they really impact your body. They impact your emotional state. And it's the same for women. Now, for women, it's more pronounced, right? We have more pronounced hormonal cycles, but there is a spiritual, like with everything, there is a spiritual and energetic component to it. So learning how to work with your chakras during that time can be really beneficial in terms of using that phase to grow in to age right? Like it's like that's when we make the decision how we're going to age. Are we just going to kind of settle in, almost give up? And just kind of never change again, not learn anymore, right? Or are we going to continue to grow and learn, pushing through our boundaries? And you can sort of see this maybe if you look at people in your life, people who have aged one way versus the other.
Well, I guess the men are on pause, huh?
Yeah, they can be. Often, with men, we think of the midlife crisis, right? Like the stereotype is acting out in some way, getting a sports car they can't afford or having an affair as they struggle to come to terms with aging, right? Really often that is kind of a reflection of this shift, which is emotional and hormonal and spiritual, right? And if we embrace it with intentionality, it's a time of great growth. And really, again, everything like we were talking about with aging earlier, letting go of the stuff that doesn't matter, getting clarity around what does, healing parts of yourself that have maybe created different reactive patterns in your life that aren't healthy, healing those so that you're really meeting life with awareness. And then as you move into your 50s and beyond, you're living in a different way. You're really living with your wisdom front and center.
Yep, interesting indeed. So something to check out later. That's right indeed. Because I heard a standard comedian jokingly say, "Man can have a period too." I've heard that before. But the menopause—that's definitely new indeed. So my goodness, so since you've been on quite a few interviews, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Well, I think I always love to introduce people to the chakras. So I'd love that if they would just ask, like, where do I start or what should I do? Should I answer that?
Oh, go on ahead.
Yeah. I think, you know, the chakras are energy centers that we all have. And although chakra means wheel, which you already know, because you've mentioned that many times in ancient Sanskrit, which is ancient Indian language, it isn't a technology that is just for a particular religion. It's interesting to note that cultures all over the world have had mappings of an energy body, or this idea of energy centers in our body, across all different cultures and phases of history and spiritual traditions. And although they use different words for it, it's amazing how many similarities there are between them. So from that perspective, it's really just like a part of us, like our physical body that we can learn to use. We can learn to tap in to the energies. And I think the best place to start is usually with your heart chakra, which is right in the center of your chest, beneath your breastbone, and just imagining a gentle light there in your chest, focusing on someone or something that you love, and feeling that warmth and letting that warm up your chest. And just breathe into that space and give yourself a few minutes resting in that heart light. And that is the simplest, most accessible first chakra energy work for many people. And then from there, there's so many more things you can explore. But I always say to people, just have an open mind and give it a try. Don't judge it sort of conceptually, just try it personally and see if you feel something after a few days or a couple of weeks, and then you can explore more from there.
So with all that metaphorical driving, what would you consider your greatest gift that you received from going that far into the realm, the chakra realm within you?
I think a sense that I really have choice how I'm going to react to what happens to me. I can't control everything that happens in the world or everything that happens to me, but I can approach life with more intentionality, which does influence what happens to me. And then when things happen that I don't choose, that are challenging, I have this inner resourcing. And it's really, for me, spiritual. Some people might not think of it as spiritual, but this connection to this inner resource that will always get me through anything. And when you really know that, you can live in a different way. You can relax into your life and feel supported and connected spiritually.
I loved how you said inner resourcing. It's like, yeah. You got resources, y'all. That's right, indeed. You got life within you. If you're listening to this, you got some life in you, some inner resources, indeed. That's right, indeed. You are your own oil well, y'all.
Exactly. That really is the teachings of the chakras. You know, that in every single one, the inner source, the very inner core is light. And you can call that light God. You can call it spirit. You can call it the Tao, you can call it enlightenment, you can call it many different things, but that's the connecting point, is in you going inward.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right, she's going in. She's going in, y'all. That's right indeed. She's going inward. That's right indeed. Well, speaking of going in, there's usually food that goes in our tummies. So if your fabulous book, your fabulous magical book, Chakra Empowerment for Women, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Okay. It would be a mango. Because it's juicy, it's a little bit unique, it's really nourishing, and it's a nice, brilliant color. It even has color pictures in it.
Oh, somebody was excited for that one. That's right, dude. Did you listen to the Dr. Joanna Cuyava episode of this podcast by any chance?
I did not know. Why?
Oh, okay. Because she said the same thing about her.
Oh, she said no. Oh, no. Shoot. Okay. Now I wish I would. Can I come from the... That's okay. Both our books can be mangoes. It's okay.
Oh, it's A-okay. I was just curious because I'm like, oh yeah, because you're a third guest to say mangoes, which is hilarious.
Really interesting. No, I listened to the last couple, but yeah, that must have been further back.
Yep, that one was oh wow, summer 2022. Yeah, I think late August. Yeah, her book was about the other goddess, Mary Magdalene. And another
Oh.
episode that'll be up before yours, Magda Kay. She's a intimacy expert, and her book is No More Faking It. So, you know, not just orgasms, but also life. So, yeah,
So they're all three
mangoes.
women oriented. That is interesting. All three of us, all three books are very feminine oriented and all picked mangoes. I love that. Yeah, they have a kind of fertility feeling to them, I think. They have a kind of feminine feeling to them.
Yet you're all telling the men to go. Ha!
Go have mangoes? Sure.
Ha
I'm definitely not telling the men to go, though, in terms of leaving. No, not
ha
at all. No. Yes.
was the divorcee's favorite fruit if they were a lady, right? Let the man go. I'm st
Oh, you're funny. I missed it the first time. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
How did I miss that? Oh gosh. You're too
don't
funny.
worry. That's probably 85% of my jokes anyway. They don't always hit you at first. You'll
So
just catch.
I'll listen after the fact and I'll find all the jokes. Probably. Oh.
Oh yeah, I'm like a jack in the box. Instead of me popping out and scaring you, you're just popping out and then you just have a random lemon on your forehead for no reason. And you're like, it's lemonade time, bro.
Absolutely.
That's right, indeed. Mangoes, indeed. Don't worry, y'all. It's good stuff. It's good stuff, indeed. Just because it's in the title for women, men can learn too. That's right, indeed. She's got male clients. You just have the women show up a lot more.
Yeah.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So my goodness, my goodness. We're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Relax. It's all going to be okay. And find the moments of joy in every day, no matter how small they are, and focus on the people whom you really love, who you really care about. Not what the other people think, but the people that you really love, that really are your people, your support group. Focus on your connection to them. So I think that would be it, the moments of joy and the love around you. And get off your phone. So, which of course we did not have when I was 25, but so coming back now, I'd be like, why is everyone walking around with these things? So put those down. Put those down is what I would say for a few hours a day at least.
Heck yeah, that's right indeed. Folks thought screen time was the TV. Nah, fam, it's your phone now, buddy. That's
Yeah, TV was
right.
nothing, right? TV was nothing compared to this. Yeah.
Yeah. Whole world at your fingertips. And plus, the good news is you'll make your husband basically a cradle robber.
Yeah. Yeah, he just turned 60, so that might be a little creepy, but well.
Just for everybody else, let me stop.
Yeah, okay. We'll stop with the metaphor there. It was just a metaphor.
Yeah, it is. I'll just like mess with people with that one because they never think about the whole entirety of it. And some folks be like, hey, sweet. All right, this will be hilarious. It'll make them feel bad, but in a joking way. It's like, oh, I might make a run for it. Okay, I'm going too deep. No, let me come back for air.
Yeah.
The kids are creeped out now. They're like, hey, why does mom know all of our slang again?
Yeah. Yeah,
We got a
now I just
heater.
embarrassed them.
Oh, heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. Well, the good news is folks only got to hear, I don't know, 0.05% of what the lovely Lisa has to offer. So for those who need to dive into other 95 point, or should I say the other 99.5% of what you have to offer, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Go to enlightenedenergetics.com, or you can go on Facebook or Instagram at Chakra Empowerment. But both of those you can also find at enlightenedenergetics.com, and the links to the books and all of that.
Woo-hoo. Well, there you have it, folks. Going to put both of those links out there so that way you can click on both. That way you can have those enlightened energetics. That's right, indeed. All your light bulbs will be on forever, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You'll have all the energy in the freaking world, y'all. That's right, indeed. Because Lisa's got you covered. That's right, indeed. It's like your own inner electricity. Can't spell Erickson without electricity, am I right?
There you go.
That's right.
I love that. Inner electricity. That's right. Perfect.
Heck yeah. That's right indeed. Because she's a conductor, y'all. She teaches, she coaches, she writes, she speaks. That's right indeed. Elise of all trades indeed. So my goodness, any parting words before we close up shop?
No, just thank you. This has been a pleasure. I love your brain and I love your gift with words. And I really appreciate you featuring authors and coaches and the lovely world of books and personal healing and spirituality and all of the above.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.